After that evening meal had concluded, 11 men sat in that upper room with Jesus. 11. It's a nice sized group to get together for a dinner. It's large enough that the room fills up, right, with laughter, with the sound of conversation. And it'd be small enough that you wouldn't get the chance to not see everyone, to chat with everyone there. But you wouldn't use the word many to describe 11 people, would you? All of our fellowship dinners that we had over the course of this Lenten season, we had at least 11 people, I think more than 11 people at all of those, and none of those felt like there were many people there, a particularly unwieldy number. In fact, as I'm counting tonight, I think there are 11 of us here tonight. Not many. So when Jesus said to the disciples that night, passing the cup around, "This is poured out for many," I wonder if they looked at the door to see if there were some more people arriving. Maybe Judas was going to return from his errand with some more of Jesus' followers, because in that room there weren't many people. Just 11 and Jesus. Like this room tonight. It's not the only way in which Jesus showed that there was more going on at that table than the simple consumption of bread and wine. Right? He said some plain words, clear words, understandable words that spoke to something more that was happening. "This is my body. This is my blood of the covenant." The covenant, the promise, the contract, the one-sided guarantee of unmerited forgiveness. When God came to Abraham, Genesis chapter 15, to reaffirm the promise he had made to give the land of Canaan to Abraham's offspring and to bless the whole world through Abraham's family, we find another similarly one-sided covenant being struck. God had Abraham sacrifice 5 animals. Abraham cut them in half and laid them out to form sort of a path between them. This was a common custom of those times when you were going to make a solemn contract, an oath with someone. The parties to this agreement, they would go and they would walk one after the other between these dead animals. And what was the meaning there? May I be like these animals if I break my word, to which I'm swearing this oath now. And this wasn't a covenant God made only to Abraham either. You see, when Abraham had prepared that path, down which he assumed that he and God were going to walk together, God caused Abraham to fall into a deep sleep. And then God, in the appearance of a burning torch, passed alone through those sacrificed animals. God promised his own death and his death alone to Abraham as the guarantee of this one-sided covenant. God spoke afterward to that sleeping Abraham, having passed through the animals, and told him, "To your descendants, I give this land." This promise wasn't something he was only swearing to Abraham. And when God makes a promise, he's allowed to make that promise to whoever he wants to make it, even to offspring, children, generations that weren't born yet. He's allowed to do that. He doesn't need our choice, our decision, our will. He speaks, and what he speaks ever since he created this world has always become reality. So Jesus had every right to do what he did in that upper room, to make a covenant 2,000 years after making that covenant with Abraham, a covenant wherein he gave and received nothing in return, a covenant contingent on his death, on his blood being poured out, a covenant made with the 11 men sitting there, and yet promised to more as well, a promise made, Jesus says, to many. Who are these many to whom this promise was made? As the early Christian church spread in those first years after Jesus' resurrection, this bread and wine meal was shared with each new brother and sister. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, perhaps only 25 years or so after the resurrection, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf." This meal This sacrament was not some hocus pocus invented to control superstitious peasants in the Middle Ages. Christ instituted it for the benefit of all those who would come to know him through his word of salvation. So along with the gospel, the good news, the story of Jesus' work on behalf of sinners, along with that message went out this meal, this washing. Century after century, in innumerable places all around the world, sinners have continued to be invited to the table to receive the body and blood given for them by their Savior, given for many. And now here we are tonight. Sinners all. Sinners who will sin. Just as the disciples who received this bread and this wine that night, hours later, would abandon and deny their Lord. This meal was for them. Forgiveness on their lips. This meal is for many. For all around the world who see in the law of God their sin and rejoice in the gospel proclamation of their Savior. This meal is for you. Forgiveness on your lips. Peace between you and your God. Amen.